Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Boy, we got started again with another little problem. We're having some bad weather on with towers are. But we're here, folks, and thanking God for another day. So just hang on just a bit. Okay, here we go. Ooh, all right. I want to thank God for being here one more day. I want to thank every one of you for hanging out with us. And as I said before, you guys have been awesome just being able to have you here. And we're 4,422 listeners deep. Yesterday, we spoke about entertainment business being a little lax on their social responsibility, the content that they're sending out there. Kids are imitating people that it's causing them a problem, such as girls on 16 and pregnant. And, you know, it's just getting real crazy now. Today, we all know, marks the fourth anniversary of Michael Jackson's death. So my first break song is going to be a song for Michael Jackson. Every one of you have heard most of his things, but what we have not heard is the song I'm about to play, because if you didn't have the History album, you didn't have this song. This song is called This Time Around, and it features Biggie Smalls, and I'm going to be playing the song for you so you guys can listen to it while I take care of the last of these technical issues, and then we'll be back to start our topic for tonight. I'll be back in four.
We'll be right back.
home, I ain't safe as I should be. Things always missing, maybe it could be my friends. They ain't friends if they robbing me, stopping me from making a profit. See, apology, shallow like the ocean. I guess I resort to gun token. If I was dead broke and smoking, I'd probably be by my lonesome. I'm a killer nigga, I ain't joking. Enzo smoke got me choking. I'm hoping the fool comes slipping so I could blow him open. This time around, I changed up my flow. Got rid of the rock that pissed by the dough. A real set of people to watch my back. Stay away from strangers so I won't slack. And I know my nigga might like that. Baby!
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Okay. I want to once again thank everybody that's joined us and hang out with us while we were going through our little delayed start here. There was a little bit of issues with the technical, so we just want to thank every one of you. I can't say that enough. Okay, yesterday we start off the first of our two-part series to the entertainment business and social responsibility. Yesterday, the part was called X Factor on Social Responsibility because we were talking about it from the standpoint of the industry, the entertainment industry, being a little too lax with the censorship problems. And because the censorship now is a lot less restricted, I believe that they became a lot more relaxed in what they're putting out with content. So it doesn't matter to them that young girls are following the girls that's from 16 and pregnant, or that Basketball Wives is allowing the producer to stand right there on camera while her cast members are pretty much, you know, causing crimes against each other, fighting. Just as we were speaking on the fact that we have the Bad Girls Club, which started out to be how these troubled girls are going into a home to become improved based on whatever it is that they're doing in that home away from the house, and they're supposed to get better, but they're coming back a little more loud and worse than they left. Maury Povich, that's you know, exploiting mainly African-American children by having women that can't find the fathers in 16 tribes, and he's trying to mask it as he's trying to connect people with their dads. And I asked the question yesterday, how on earth is this helping when these children are going to grow up one day and everything, you know, is recorded or backed up, and one day they're going to see themselves as babies with their parents, because most of the time, or some of the time, these mothers actually are arguing with the fathers who turned out to be the fathers, and by the time the DNA has come out, this man has called her, this kid's mother, a slut or a whore or something on TV. So how is he making society any better or helping these children when one day they're going to look back and see this replay, and they're going to ask their dad and their mom, well, why did you call mom this name? And mom, why is it that we had to be on TV so I could find out who my father was? A lot of these things. But today's aspect of the entertainment business and their lack of social responsibility is actually coming from now the civilian side of things, how we are taking things a little too far. One of the examples that was brought up on the panel yesterday was the way people get involved with sports or connect with fictional characters and cause wars between each other when someone else likes that character's rival. So we brought up Twilight, which was one of the movies where there's a Team Edward and a Team Jacob. And then there's people who like Team Bella but don't want to be bothered with her because she's the competition for either or. So we are talking about people starting to lose the balance between what is fantasy and what is reality. Okay, one of the things that took place yesterday was we were speaking on a specific person that had gone on Facebook and pretty much was a LeBron James fan. So this LeBron James fan, pretty much we all thought we're okay with getting involved with sports trash talk, and we all got together and we all get deep down and dirty in sports trash talking, and the problem is that we didn't realize this person was way too far gone. I mean, this person started attacking people and racist, not a fan talking against his team. He was actually saying that women needed to go on diets, and you're talking about an athlete, and, you know, your house is dirty, you smell, you need to get diets, you need to eat things, you need to stop not taking care of your children. Then he posted something that, I don't know if it's a real link or not, but it said blackpeoplehate.com. Meanwhile, this man is an African-American. And by the way, he's not a 20-something or a teen. Acting this way, deleting people over sports, over players that make multi-million dollars and don't know who you are, even when you're sitting in the fan seats cheering them on. And for those of you that watched the video, you know, right afterwards, LeBron James made a video where he didn't look like a very sportsmanlike person after winning the ring, saying people stink and all sorts of stuff. But this is what is going on, where we have people defending the cause or defending the honor of these multi-million dollar players that don't know who you are. So they're actually breaking up with girlfriends, boyfriends, families, friends. Meanwhile, the rest of the world has moved on from one season to another. So exactly when do we start remembering what's fantasy in the entertainment world and what isn't? So today's aspect is all about what we are, as civilians are doing to help this entertainment company continue to be socially black. For those of you just joining us in, okay, I have a caller coming in. I'm going to be right there. Just hang on a sec. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Katie, how you doing?
Hi, who's this?
This is Flintstone Lou. You know,
hey, Lou,
that's my name, right? I was just listening to you, sir. I just wanted to chime in and just right quick. You know me, I like a stimulating conversation. And you talking about the entertainment industry and how people get too engrossed and caught up on non-reality and living vicariously through athletes and entertainers and so on and so forth. First of all, I want to say the entertainment industry, I don't have no problem with them whatever they're doing. People have to tune in and turn their televisions to watch them and so on and so forth. And this may sound cliche-ish, but it's all about that dollar bill. It's all about that dollar bill, and I ain't mad at nobody for getting the money. When it comes to the influence on our children and our youth, that's up to us, the parents, adults, and so on and so forth. The old saying, each one, reach one, teach one, and so on and so forth. That's where it comes. I got three kids that are young adults now. And I talk to my kids all the way up from little kids in grade school and so on, every trip to school in the morning, every at the grocery store, at the doctor's office. I was constantly always to the point where they was like, oh, daddy, here you go again, whatever. But now as they're young adults in college and so on and so forth, I see that they were listening. They were listening because they, you know, doing whatever. So it's really, to in a nutshell, it's about us as the adults and whatever to try to, you know, to uplift and keep the kids, the television, whatever. You know, you can't let your kids live vicariously through TV. One thing that is a major turnoff to me about a female, and I'm sure it would be a female the other way around as a man, is a woman to sit around all day not working, not going to school, not doing anything productive, but she all up in General Hospital and One Life to Live and keeping up with what Erica Kane and all of them doing. Well, one thing Erica Kane them doing is they working. Hey, that's a job. You know what I mean? That's a job. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with everything you just said. I do. The reason why we're speaking on that today is because then there's a few things. There's those kids that don't have adult roles or parents that's doing what you're doing, Lou, or what I'm doing, you know, for myself. And you're right. No matter how many times they roll their eyes or suck their teeth, they're listening. But there are people out there that aren't. Now, today's factor is about those adults that get silly. And if the children are looking to us to be examples, and we're joining in with what's being said, and we're not letting them know it's all entertainment, then what happens? And yeah, as you know, matter of fact,
I absolutely agree. And unfortunately, that there are kids. I was very much involved, and still to this day, involved in my kids' life. And there's a lot of kids that don't have that, and that's unfortunate. That's where, again, when I was growing up, as I said too, which is a lot of things that's missing. Yeah, we have mentorship programs and things are going on, but not enough. We didn't have any official mentorship growing up when I did, but what we had is we had older guys in the neighborhood. They took us under their wings. They organized sporting events, and they took us in it, and that is what is missing these days. And the problem that is, a lot of it is, parents these days are so ignorant, is that you can tell a kid to get out of the street during rush hour traffic, and they ready to, you know what I'm saying, they ready to fight you and jump on you and cuss you out and stuff for saying something to their kid, even though you very well may have saved their life. You know what I mean? That's
exactly
what's missing. There were several parents in my neighborhood. They never did it, but they had permission from my mom to whoop my butt if they saw me getting down wrong doing something. And chances are, when I got home, I was going to get another butt whooping. But that kept me on point as far as watching what I was doing or what have you, so on, because I never knew who saw me, because there were many parents that had permission to get in my butt, and several of them did, and I appreciate that. Today, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You can't say nothing to nobody, kid, hardly, you know, but want to shoot your house up, you know, because you didn't, it's crazy. It's crazy. It all starts with the parents. It really do.
It does. And you know what? One of the things that you and I constantly talk about, you know, not just you and I, but I mean, of course, Facebook, is that we are probably the last generation that had that big mama or the nosy lady in the window with the rollers, that, you know, the minute that a girl wore a skirt above her knee, she was easy on
everything.
You know, yeah, you everything. And would go tell your mother, even if you weren't doing anything, just that they didn't like what you were wearing or something. And it wasn't just another person's parent. It was a teacher, it was the priest, it was the guy at the corner store. All it had to be was an adult who perceived something badly and spoke with your parents. Could you hang on, Lucas? I have another caller calling in, and I'd like them to join in, okay?
All righty.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes,
my name is Darlene. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Darlene. How are you? Darlene, meet Lou. Lou, Darlene.
I was just listening, and you know, what was mentioned, it's very true. You know, but the bottom line for me is that I'm a woman who would like to still think we have some integrity left. You know, money is money, and money's going to be money. But for me, you know, I've had opportunity to be in the entertainment field and all the limelight and all those sorts of things. But as a young child coming up, like, I always had a sense of prioritizing some things. Like, there's things I'm just not going to do as a proud black woman. I'm not going to sell my soul, right, for no amount of money. So, you know, that's the only comment. I don't want to elaborate on it or get that deep with it, but I will say this. Like, us as a people, our ancestors came up proud. They had a little bit of dignity. They had pride. And I think as a people, we should carry that out.
That was one of the things that came across with this person that I was bringing up, who actually was saying, you know, blackpeoplehate.com. I mean, this was an African-American saying it. So that kind of made me, you know, spark on the topic. Now, yesterday, Lou, I don't think you were on, but we spoke about it from the industry's aspect. Now, one of the things is, and in America, when you open up a business, no matter what that business is going to be, aside from the legal restrictions that you have, aside from the monetary issues that the monetary obligations that you have, one of the things in America as a new business is that you must have social responsibility. So to whatever community that you're catering to or building in, what you're doing has to somehow benefit that community. So the thing is that we all know that these day and age, we don't have the same moral fibers that we did. However, there's still an obligation for social responsibility to be honored. And the thing is that, yes, it is a lot more bold nowadays. It is a lot more free and easy nowadays. But there's still a point where things become excessive. Now, yesterday we spoke about there's certain things that the producers need to go back into these rooms and edit a little more before they bring it out. Does it have to be June Cleaver? It won't work. But does it have to be, you know, Vanessa Del Rio? Absolutely not. So the thing is, today's aspect is since corporations are going to be chasing the almighty dollar, and parents do have the obligation to filter out. What happens when people like these grown people hating on other people because they don't agree with LeBron James or with Tyson Chandler? When it gets to the point that you start attacking people's character and come out of the sports realm, then something is up with you. But this is what a child could see or another younger person could see. It doesn't have to necessarily be a child. It could be somebody that's impressionable at 17 or 18 or 20.
Right.
Both all of us on this panel are old enough to know that even at 20, you're not really grown.
No, you're not.
Okay, you're a little kid. You're just two years above actually not having to be grounded. You understand?
I know a lot of people that's in their 30s. I know a lot of people 30 and up and stuff, and they ain't really grown.
Well, nowadays, the 50-somethings are just as silly. Nowadays, the 50-somethings are acting like the 20-somethings.
Well, Katie, about that whole matter about you, the person who you're talking about obviously shall remain nameless, but, you know, we've already discussed that went to talking all reckless and stuff because y'all was talking about LeBron or whoever. So, I mean, that's just nonsense and ignorance on his part. You just have to pray for a person like that. I mean, you can't take that to so much. Some people get so caught up into the sports. Yes, I was supporting Miami because I just simply, as a student of the game, thought they were the better team. And I think LeBron is the best basketball player in the world, and so on and so forth. But I'm a Laker and Kobe Bryant guy, quite frankly. But I didn't get all when somebody was talking about him and so on. Somebody can talk about Kobe. I mean, Kobe ain't sending me no checks. So somebody, he's a grown man, and he has a Facebook page. So if somebody on Facebook talking about him, then he can defend himself. You know what I mean? So I did have an issue with just so many people who not really Spurs or any other team they was playing fans. They was just anti-Miami and mainly LeBron, simply, and I was just saying, and a lot of them had that hang-up about, which we didn't already went over in the sports show. I don't want to get too much in there, but just having a big hang-up about him leaving Cleveland, like he should have been loyal to Cleveland when no owners are loyal to the players. And I heard nothing about Ray Allen leaving Boston. He had a ring already when he left Boston, and just but he wanted to win another ring, so he left Boston. I have never heard one person say anything this degrading about Ray Allen leaving Boston. Have you?
Well, no, not really, but I think that at
you
the time,
I mean?
I think
Doc
that everybody
Rivers just left Boston to go coach the L.A. Clippers. Nobody has nothing to say. He's a coach. He wanted to go to another job. He feel free. Why is it different with LeBron? That's what just be puzzling me. Everybody having so much, he should have stayed in Cleveland and let them help them build a championship team and so on and so forth. That's nonsense. This is America.
I don't got a problem with him leaving Cleveland at all for no helping them do anything. My problem was he's not a sports-like player, and because I love the value of what NBA used to be, that was my problem. And the fact that they have the nerve to say he's going to be the next Michael Jordan, but no, he's going to be better. And I don't see that because there's certain things. But, with all that being said, that's not the point. Is we should all be able to voice that without us feeling that when we leave, somebody's going to stick a knife in our back.
Literally. True, true.
But
true,
again,
true.
That's my whole point with this topic tonight. And that the person that shall remain nameless, it's not just him. There were other people being crazy, but I think that his, to me, went over the top because he was talking about women whose private parts don't smell right, and he probably don't know who they are. He was talking about women that are too fat. Meanwhile, he's talking about, I'm in the gym, and I'm the sexiest Miami Heat fan there is. Then he's walking around. Mind you know he ain't no 30-something or 20-something. Then he's talking about that, you know, these women don't take care of their kids or their house. How the hell do you know this? And
well,
why
you know
is
what?
LeBron James starting that type of personal attack? And then you're going to talk about black people and your
well,
black.
You know what, Katie? I hate to... You know, again, this is your show, honey, but that is such ignorance to me, that whole nonsense he was talking to her. I think you should not even give him any more, even though he's been remaining nameless. You shouldn't even give him any more or whatever. That's just such ignorance, you know what I mean? That just,
well,
you know what I mean? To get to talking all, personal attacks against people simply because
right.
they disagree with you. I mean, that is a sign of ignorance. And as I said, you just pray for a person like that. You know what I mean?
Right, but I was bringing him up because it's an example of what everybody's doing with regard to the entertainment business so that we can make awareness for people who might be doing it and may not realize it's that extreme. So that's what this show is about. It's really not
right,
about
right,
one
right.
person. It's just an example. But I do appreciate what you said because the premise of what you just said is absolutely correct, which is why this person really doesn't have that much hold. It's just that he's a perfect example of how things can get extreme. For example, we spoke yesterday about those two Colombian soccer players who got shot in the head because they made a mistake on the field. You understand? So somebody took it to that level and shot the guy because he lost for the country at that moment. Rather than saying that there's always next year. And then his brother got shot because he was the other one that was involved with the family. So it's a lot of stuff that they said it went as far as up to the Colombian mob. And on top of that, they made a documentary about it. So we were speaking about how people get caught up. The Twilight Wars. I've seen teenagers having gang fights because somebody talked about Jacob and the other one talked about Edward. And meanwhile, these are make-believe characters and creatures. You understand?
Wow.
So That's the type of things that I'm talking about, how we as adults getting involved with that type of nonsense is letting these kids think it's an honor to defend. And it's not. Because
I said earlier, each one, reach one, teach one as much as you can.
Yes,
as much as I can, anytime I can speak to a young youth or something, I'll be very careful in doing it. But when I see a little young black young man with his pants hanging all off his tail and looking ridiculous, I'll do my best to kind of try to have a conversation with him and say to him, because obviously his parents is not, or maybe he don't have them, or maybe they not, whatever, but I'll try my best. But, of course, you have to tread lightly in this day and age, you know, because he might, along in them pants, he might have a pistol, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you have to be careful, but sometimes I often take the chance simply because I try to reach one whenever I can and let him know, look, young man, You really not. I know you may think that's cool and that's the fad and so on and so forth, but the white man will look at you like a clown, and right just by your appearance, he may be in a position to give you a job right on the spot, but you would lose out on that opportunity simply because of your appearance. You know, a lot of them don't look at it like that, and they're not being taught that. They influenced by the television, the rappers, and so on and so forth. Well, these rappers and these entertainers, they don't have to walk in and sit down and conduct the interview. They may have to try out for a part or whatever, but they got people calling. They're blowing them up trying to get them to take jobs. You got to try to get a job, you know what I mean, and try to get someone, put your best foot forward and present yourself in a dignified manner in order to get a job, you know. So you can't be running around looking like Lil Wayne.
Exactly. And I agree with you about having to tread lightly, but I also agree that you got to take a chance every time. Now, unless you see that person wielding a gun or a weapon and coming at you, you know, you of course, common sense, but you have to make the first step as a person. It's our obligation, because whether or not they listen at that moment, it might be something they think about later. You don't know what's in that person's mind.
Well, yeah, but also, too, Katie, I have to let you know, yes, I absolutely agree, and I do, as I said, I do take it seriously, and I do take the chance oftentimes, but again, where I'm from, Flint, Michigan, again, you have to tread lightly a lot of times because there are a lot of ignorant, you know, young people out here and stuff that you say the wrong thing to them, or even if they take it the wrong way, they pull out a gun and blow your brains out. So I do when I can, and I pick my opportunities and so on. Keep in mind, I've raised two sons, and I don't really feel an obligation necessary, but yet I do try. Because I had older people when I was young that helped to guide me and mold me and stuff. I grew up without a father, but I think I turned out okay because I had males in my life. I had uncles. I had, you know, older guys from the neighborhood and so on and so forth. So I was fine. In fact, it was so normal to me to not have a father. I looked at you weird if you had a father.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Katie, am I still on the line with you?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Young man, thank you so much. You know, I got a lot from what you said. And, Katie, I got a lot from what you said also. And I'm a parent. I'm a single parent to a male, And tears come to my eyes when I see my son with his pants hanging down. They have no idea what type of statement they're making. And I really wish that we could form some kind of group or something to at least pursue I once heard that they were going to start giving them tickets. You know what I'm saying? Listen, for whatever it takes, if they can promote nonsense, they need to be able to promote something that will enhance our children's lives. You know,
I agree.
As a male factor. Listen,
I agree.
Give my son 20 tickets, and for every time you see him with his pants under his behind, give him a ticket. Please do. I'm not saying to harass him. I'm not saying to beat him up. I'm not saying to arrest him. I'm saying simply write him a ticket.
Let
and
it be a consequence.
Huh?
I say you're saying let it be some kind of consequence.
Something. Yes. Something.
Well, Jersey just did it, and I support it 100%. I wish they bring it to New York because it's really ridiculous out here. You know, it's about time. I mean, I don't understand why is it that youth have to start a trend or make a statement with that type of stuff. I mean, when we grew up, coloring your hair weird colors or getting piercings in your ear or something like that or on your nose or whatever, that was extreme enough. But when you start thinking that's something that everybody says originated in prison or meant something gang-like or whatever the case is something to start imitating or idolizing, that's a problem. And yes, we should be able to sit there and say, that's not a good look for you. And yes, you know, you should be forced to think differently.
The thing for me is that when you see, you know how they have that expression, if you want, we all look alike. They really all look alike now, because all of them walk like penguins. All of them look the same. Listen, I'm dead serious. They all walk the same. How can you? It's just so unreal to me. That thing just hurts my heart so bad.
Can I ask you something? But what was your name again?
Darlene.
Darlene, let me ask you something. How old is your son?
He's 24.
Okay, well, he's grown, I was finna say, because, of course, if he wasn't grown and you were still buying his clothes, that would be one option right there. If you buying his clothes, then he can't buy it. But if he's 24, then, yeah, he's grown, so he can wear his clothes any way he wants to. It's unfortunate, but, again, I mean, my biggest thing about it is I have two sons, age 26 and 22, and don't believe me for a moment. They tried it, but I nipped it in the bud immediately.
Don't get me wrong. He won't wear them like that in my face. But as soon as he get away from me, I'm far from stupid. I know he pulled them pants down. But I want them to know that is belittling. They are belittling themselves. They just have no clue as to what that statement means. It's making a statement of ignorance. It's making a statement that I'm not growing. That shows like I had no upbringing. Even if it's not true.
He could be an all-A student on the honor roll and everything.
Exactly. Somebody looking at
him in a job potential situation and your pants hanging off your butt or so on and so forth, they look automatically, it dismisses you from any opportunity. There's a judge in Flint, Michigan, in my hometown named Judge Marable, who I don't particularly care for because he's kind of, which I won't get into, but he demands that people put on suit jackets when they come into his courtroom. If they come into his courtroom looking unprofessional and so on and so forth. In fact, he has suit jackets in his courtroom, and if they don't, he make them put one on. And I applaud that. You know what I mean?
So you agree with that, in other words, Lou?
Oh, yeah. I do. I agree, because it makes them
okay.
put their best foot forward. You should always go into a courtroom. I don't care if it's for a civil offense, a criminal defense, or whatever. You should always look professional and go.
Right.
And judges don't like that. When you come walking up into their courtroom looking, you know, any old kind of old way, it looks like it's a disrespect to the court.
Exactly, right. to the venue. Now, there's two things to both of you I wanted to bring up, but before I do, Darlene, I wanted to touch on something that you just said about your son earlier. Now, you said you know when he walks away from you that he pulls his pants down, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, but see, here's what you still have left that is lost on the rest of the world. Your son actually respects you enough not to do it in front of you. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
Not that it's a good thing that he does it anyway, but I'm saying that to the point where this youth is today, the fact that he still has enough regard and respect for his mother, that's workable. Because I'm telling you right now, I have seen that it's like, especially if they're 24, if at 24, where he's grown and legally entitled to do whatever the hell he wants to do, that he still regards his mom with that much, that's fine. Because I had a couple of younger, single, stupid moms and dads that were telling me that they do stuff with their kids because they prefer that they do it in front of them with them than to do it behind their back. And my philosophy is, that's what the hell you want. You want them to fear what you have to say or respect you enough to want to do it behind your back and not get caught by you. You understand?
And you know what? And, Katie, that is so true. But you know what? For me, that's like a catch-22. Because when my son is not with me, I fear that he will be the next statistic. You understand what I'm saying? Or the next victim.
But we can't do that. We can't.
You know?
We don't have, we do not have our eyes out in the world when they go. We have to do the best we can by teaching them the roots at home and sticking with it. That's the thing. I have to fight with my kids daily because they tell me every day, my, it's 2013. Who does that anymore? I said, out there, it's 2013. I don't control the damn world. But in my house, it's 86, and I'm the boss. You understand? So I have to have that type of fight with them every day. Now, when they get out there, are they going to lower their pants or raise their skirts? More than likely, because that's what they see out there. They don't want to look nerdish. But the thing is that I have to be the one that keeps saying no.
Right.
And that's it.
I clearly understand what you're saying, but that mother love, that mother desire, that mother wish, that mother hope, like that never goes away. And like I said, and I will continue to say it, and every time my son walks out that door, because they stereotype them, because you don't have to be a bad kid, like that gentleman said, you could just be in the wrong place at the wrong time and you could get it. You know what
and
I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about.
We have to keep on putting that in there, but we can't, you know, we're never going to stop fearing for them, whether they're in our sight or they're 50 or they're 93. As long as we're alive, we're going to feel that. But the most that we could do is, A, pray for them, and B, stand your ground as a parent and don't try to give in and be their friend. What were you going to say, Lou, because I heard you chiming in.
Right.
Well,
you're right. Lou?
Well, I, as I said, I raised two sons. My son's age 26 and 22, off on their own. One's in college and one's, you know, off on his own and whatever, living. But I still worry about him. I don't know where you're from, Darlene. Where are you from?
Exactly.
That's natural.
Any good parent will.
Darlene.
It wouldn't matter if they was a professor, yes?
Darlene, I'm saying, where are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn.
Okay. Again, I'm from Flint, Michigan, which is small town, but it's one of the highest murder rates in the country.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've heard about it. And I worry about my kids and stuff. I worry about my daughter, who doesn't do anything but go to school and go to work and so on. But that's unfortunately a situation that it is, because they're killing over gym shoes and stepping on their gym shoes, or they're killing one another over looking at them the wrong way. And it's crazy.
Well, you know what? I guess I say that, too, because even at 24, no matter what type of lifestyle they're in, no matter what trade or profession that they're in, they still are not fully grown. You understand? So I,
and they're never
going to
acknowledge that, Darlene.
No, they,
they,
I'm just
they're never
going to
acknowledge that. We know it. I got a 17-year-old.
I'm just saying that even at 24, they still not grown yet,
right?
They might be legally grown. They might be able to go in the liquor store. They might be able to do all them other things, but they mentally they are not fully grown.
Well, Lou just dropped off. I'm not sure if it was a connection problem or not, so if he's not with us, but he may, if he calls back in, great. But, you know, you're absolutely right. You're not going to be able, as much as we wish we could, the safety
right.
gates of when they were little and, the McDonald's trips that you secure everything and, giving them the kids, we're not at that stage anymore with them. So
yeah.
The whole point of it now is that, we have to stand our ground at home, and we got to stand our ground every single time that we see them. Of course, we know that as they get older, we gotta lower the restrictions that we have because they're getting growner. But the point is that all we could do every day is keep on defying what we know is not good for them. They're gonna make
right.
their own decisions anyway.
Right.
But we have to keep saying, I don't agree with that. Why do you have to do that? I'm 43, and I don't smoke in front of my father or curse in front of my mother or say a bad thing. That's just the whole point of the matter. But we're never going to stop worrying about them.
But that's the era we came up in. I call us the last of the good Mohegans, right?
Exactly. The last of the people that care about church.
Yes, that's what I call us, the last of the good Mohegans, because we are the last generation, per se, that I'm 55 years old. I still call people mister and miss and sir
and
ma'am.
My 2-year-old who can speak, or my 8-year-old who can speak, will never be able to address an older person without a title, including their aunts and uncles. I don't play that nonsense where you walk up and you say, hi, Christine, if that's your aunt. I don't care if you haven't seen them for years. It's
right.
uncle this, it's auntie that, it's grandma this, you understand?
That's right.
It's ma'am and sir, it's thank you and please. It's that type of thing. Will they slip up with their manners at times? Yes,
oh, yeah.
But that's what you're there for.
Right.
So getting back to the topic for tonight, we are lacking the big mama, big mentor, the after-school programs, the jobs available. We're lacking all of that. So, yes, entertainment is becoming a bigger part of our brain portion and the things that we're seeing. So what's starting to happen now is that even the older somethings are, absolutely not. You can't give in to that. Now, sweetheart, I do have to take a break, and we're kind of honoring Michael Jackson tonight.
Oh,
because,
beautiful.
Yeah, it's his fourth and death anniversary year. So I want to. I'm playing a few things people haven't heard, as well as what you know. One of them I just played was called This Time Around, where he's featured with Notorious B.I.G., which never has been played on the radio. And this is another one where he was starting to defy the world about all the rumors they were starting about him, and it's called Tabloid Junkie. So you can listen in on it and tell me what you think, and we'll be back to continue the conversation, okay?
No problem.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, baby. Hang on a sec, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll be back and forth later.
Okay.
In the news today, from the Strange and Weird Fact File, singer Michael Jackson sleeps in an oxygen chamber. The singer says that the hyperbaric chamber has the benefit of reversing the aging process.
sexual.
I can't believe that our stars are 10 on the TV. The
Back, everybody. For those of you that are just joining us, this is part two of our entertainment industry and the lack of social responsibility. Yesterday we spoke about the responsibility being neglected by the entertainment business when they're sending out these contents, and we believe it's because the censorship standards have been lowered with today's more bolder and more open age. But on the other hand, it's getting to the point where people are taking their relationships or their connections to fantasy a little too seriously. So yesterday was about the network's responsibility. Today is about the civilian side responsibility. So we brought up partly yesterday and today as well examples of extreme sports rage, where people get connected to these players in NBA and football and things to that effect, and they start to forget that the healthy competition between two people who are on opposing team cheerleaders can have a debate, or say that I don't like LeBron James because I like the Knicks, and that same person in turn can say I don't like the Knicks, I'm a Heat fan. And there shouldn't be a position where you start coming to blows, or you delete them off Facebook, or you start attacking people personally. And I brought up a situation where there was a particular Heat person that was going so far as to talk about women not being skinny enough or dieting enough or taking care of their kids because they simply didn't agree with liking LeBron James, and he was. So that was one of the things that, you know, we use as an example. Also, how the people who are watching the Twilight movies, Team Jacob, Team Bella, Team Edward, and I actually was witnessing these teenagers getting so caught up in the fantasy of how charming Edward was or how hot Jacob was. And if you didn't like Edward and you liked Jacob, there were fights. Even Robert Pattinson, the portrayer of the Edward Cullen character, said that fans used to walk up to him and saying, "You got to bite me." You know, because he played a vampire that happened to be, you know, a hot vampire. So, you know, when do we come to the point of saying, hello, listen, you know, it's a fantasy, it's a box office, it's a play. And when the curtains go down, they're back to their regularly scheduled people, like you go back to your regularly scheduled lives. When it gets to the point where grown adult people cannot sit there and say, I don't know how to separate the fact that I just came out of a basketball game and I just watched a movie, or I just looked at a reality TV show, which isn't really reality, because these people are getting paid to act like fools and let your kid know it's okay. So earlier today, we had Lou Mason from Flint, who was speaking about that. He made a great point that it comes down to people having to use their common sense, and at the same token, it's a matter of, you know, you doing what you have to do. But then again, we spoke about those people that have two parents in the house, or they have the blessing of having other adults that may not be parents but are involved with them, taking care of them and letting them know a different way. Then we have Darlene, who I'm going to bring in again, once again, who was speaking about being a mom, and it saddens her to see the ways that the world is going, or the youth are sinking with sagging pants and things to that effect. So hang on, everyone, while I bring her in once again. Darlene, sweetie, you still with me?
Yes, darling, I'm still with you, Katie.
Okay, well, let's go back to that. We were talking about even the Twilight movies, you know, how the teenagers have formed their own little, you know, war to fight about. We brought up yesterday 16 and Pregnant. I don't know, I know you probably heard of it, but do you watch the show, or have you ever?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
16 and Pregnant, under the premise of them introducing this show, okay, they were supposed to be bringing it out to be informative about how hard being a teen and being pregnant as a teen it is. You know, that was what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be bringing out the real hard, rough fights that a person has being a pregnant teen. Okay, but what it turned out to be was there were actually other teenagers trying to either get pregnant at 16 or being pregnant at 16 and idolizing a particular character, depending on which episode was on, where they found it cool to be one of those, you know, high, loud girls that curse out the baby's daddies, or guys were idolizing the deadbeat teen fathers who were calling their baby mamas to be, you know, sluts and you, I ain't with you, or I'm going to go cheat on another girl with another girl or whatever. And our talk yesterday was, it has to come to a point in time where the producers go back into the editing room and say, this is not what we want to send out. But now today's segment is the civilians' reactions. We have to be responsible as adults that the kids in real life are looking at and saying, you realize that that's Hollywood, right? Or you realize that being 16 and pregnant at the end of the half-hour segment, these girls go home with real babies.
Yeah, Katie. And you know what? That is a real delicate situation because I get emotional with that one. Because it's even larger than that. For me, it stems from society at large. Laws has been put in place that's actually given the children the permission to go out and have sex because they took, per se, our rights, right? As
right.
The mother, right? Like they can go and get birth control pills without our permission, right?
Or abortions.
They can go and get abortions without our permission. And see, once they put that in place, they made these kids feel like they grown and they could do whatever they want to do.
Well, so the previous segment I had was where it's government interferes with parenting. But in this case, how do we, if we are going to sit there and get just as stupid about getting caught up with sports, like we were talking about earlier, UI and Lou, where we were talking about how these players at the end of the season, they're going to go about their business and go back to their lives, and they're not going to remember who you are if they knew you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So what on earth are you doing severing real-life relationships, familial relationships with family and friends and Facebook support? You know, people develop good friendships through Facebook, you know, as much as there's the other side of it. So why would you go so far as to start getting so mad over a multi-billion dollar player, which to you is a fictional character or a celebrity icon, okay, and mess up your real life?
Because, Katie, they don't have no boundaries, no lines. They have no order, no structure. No, they don't have much of anything today. 90% of our children are either wishing that they had enough time to spend with their mom and wishing she didn't have to work so hard, because society has put in place and has forced us. Because, and you know what? Our parents in our era had time to be the mothers. They had real time on their hands to invest in us as the children. Our parents did not work. Our fathers was making enough money to be the breadwinners. But that's
right.
Not the case today. That's not the case today. My mother was part of the PTA, every meeting, every show, everything that we had, my mother partaked in when we were coming up going to school. These parents have to work so hard today, they don't have time.
Absolutely. And on the other hand, now one of the things that was brought up on the part one segment yesterday by someone is, and, you know, to a major point, that point is correct. But then we brought up a little bit of a filler to that. One of the things that was brought up is that most of these children, because of what you just said, or even just for other reasons, the parents, the kids that have the most attitude or whatever are usually brought up in a single-parent home. Now, I'm a single parent, and the one thing that I realize is, yes, it is hard. I don't care if you're a single mom or a single dad. You can't be both parents to that child, because a woman can teach her son everything under the sun except how to be a man. It'll never be a role she could play. It can never be a role she can speak on. On the other hand, neither can a father for his daughter. But when you are a single parent, and if you don't have the option of having a civil relationship with the other parent, but you are one of those people, as Lou brought up earlier, that is going to be like, don't say a word to my kid. What are you talking about? You talking to my kid? Listen,
right.
If you're going to be a single parent that already is having a hard time trying to do a 100% job with 50% tools, but then you're going to shut out the people that mean well and can do something, then you're gonna make it a problem for your child. On the other hand, okay, it's not always a single parent household that's the problem, because I've seen plenty of very strong single parents that don't take no crap, that is involved, like you said, with every PTA meeting, every silly performance, every big performance, every big event. I've been one of them. But when you get out there, understand that the peer pressure in society now is three times and more intense and more dangerous than it ever was in our day. So, once again, it still takes a village to raise that child, even now.
Yeah. It's always going to take a village. That's never going to stop. It's just that we as a people, we have gotten so complacent, and we feel like our child is so God's gift. We are all God's gifts. You understand what I'm saying? Your child is no more God gift than I am, because he enlightens all our lives. He protects all of us. So none of us is better than the other. However, like the gentleman said earlier, when we were coming up, the whole block could beat your butt, right?
Catch you
doing something wrong. But today, it's not happening. Today, when you say something to somebody's child, you better look forward to dealing with the mother, the father, the cousins, the aunts, the sisters, the brothers, because I am one of them who have lived through that. When a child was disrespectful to me, I went to the parent. The parent became disrespectful to me and told me that their child could do whatever they want to do to me.
They can, but guess what? There's consequences, because if that child decided to go out there and do something to the wrong person, then they better be able to. Look, my father used to say, if you dish it out, you better take it back.
Yeah, but you know what? It's easier said than done, because these children are not, they not handling it. They want to dish it out, but they can't take it. Now, if one of them get hurt, then it's a family feud thing. And then, you know, it's not like how when we were coming up, you fight a girl, you beat her, it's over. If you want to rematch, you fight her again, and she might
it's
beat
over.
You. But you understand what I'm saying, and it's over. But it's not like that today. When you make a conscious decision to even challenge somebody on something that they did wrong to you,
right?
You got to be prepared
for whatever.
Fights don't
end today. Fights don't end today, which is why the networks and us as civilians need to know how to blend or keep that line between, listen, this is fantasy. I don't care how intense you get about it. You could scream in your opposing person's face. That's right, your team went down, your team went down. But you're supposed to be able to laugh and go, all right, man, we got next year. But if you can't do that and you be like, yo, you talked about LeBron, let's go outside. As grown people, what the hell are we telling our kids? What are we telling our kids? What are we telling society? And what are we telling those producers, as a matter of fact? What are we telling those producers? Hey, listen, that's ratings. Look, got people acting up. They don't care if you go outside and blow each other's brains out because you're fighting over, you know, Kevin Garnett is better than LeBron. They don't care. At the end of the day, the controversy actually brings them more ratings.
Yeah.
So it's up to us to stop going, you idiot. Did you realize you just called me a fool or a slut or whatever over LeBron, who ain't never going to see you, or Tyson, who don't know who you are, even in the stands?
Right.
The, 9 times out of 10, the NBA players don't even know the season pass holders that got the $1,000 to pay for the courtside tickets.
And you know what? I need to say this, right, because it goes so far back deep. You know, and I've entered many discussions concerning, you know, social matters, us as a people, blacks, whites, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, everybody. And, you know, like the bottom line is, like, I'll say it and I'm going to say it until as long as it continues. We are the only people who do not fight for anything, basically. You know, everybody has a parade. Everybody has a day. Everybody has they have something in their honor, right? Except for us. We had to fight for the Black Solidarity Day. Look how long we had to fight for that.
Well,
that's just
Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King Day too.
We had to fight for them to
make that a federal holiday, and they didn't even give it on his birthday.
And look how long it took for that fight. But the thing is, what I'm saying is that there has been so much bloodshed and this and this and that. And we as a people, we fear we've gotten to the point that if we have something to say, if we have a say, like people are so afraid because it's automatically get rid of him. He's causing problems. Or get rid of her. Her mouth is too big. Or get rid of her because she stands for something. Or get rid of her. You know what I'm saying? As long as we just go for whatever, we okay. But as soon as we have an opinion, it's a problem.
Well, that's something that we would have to work on, and that's with us, because, you know, there's a lot of things I see, like you and I live in the same state. We know for a fact that if you had gone over to, say, Valley Stream neighborhood, you'd be hard-pressed to find a liquor store in the same vicinity. But if you come out to the more urban areas, you'll see a liquor store in every other corner. So that's up with us. Maybe that's the problem where we're starting to lose focus on what reality is. A gentleman that came on the other day. Hold on a minute, sweetheart. We got a caller coming in, and I got to take them in, too. All right, hold on. Hi, caller. You on the air?
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, LaShonda. Okay, LaShonda, meet Darlene. Darlene, meet LaShonda. Join
Hello.
The panel.
Hi. Okay. I was just going to say that I agree with, you said Darlene?
Yes.
Yes, about how... I don't know if she older than you or whatever, but back in my day, the whole neighborhood could beat you down.
Yeah,
and
that
then
was
when you get home,
too, all of us.
You would get home and still get another beat down. But no, like she said, it ain't happening these days, baby. Mm-mm. We can hang that up.
Mm-hmm.
When I say hang it up, it's. Because anytime I have to get with a kid. Me and the kid is in the street going back and forth. So he was so disrespectful. And I went to his mom and I told her about it. And she acted like, okay, well, yeah, I get him, you know, whatever. But I noticed every kid, now I've been in my home for like 7 years now, and every kid that I done got into it with because of them talking or saying rude stuff to my kids, they don't have a father in the home.
Indeed.
So that's why I had brung up yesterday. A lot of these kids don't have dads in the home. I know, ain't nothing wrong with single parent. You know, whatever you got to do, whatever you got to do to, you know, raise your kids. But if they had father figures, I don't think they would be so disrespectful like they are.
No, they wouldn't be. And what you said yesterday was not inflammatory against single mothers, because I'm one and I would have been offended. What I'm saying to you is, what I was just adding to that is this. Yes, it's already hard. Listen, forget just the parent part. If you go into any job, project, whatever, if you're only working with 50% of the required tools for that job, project, or whatever, you're going to have to do twice the work and go through twice the delays and do twice the defects. But for a parent, if you don't have the affordability of having a civil relationship with your other half when you split up, and you decide at the same time that you're going to block out anybody who could help you along, you're definitely going to wind up with nothing but what you went through, LaShonda, where you got to sit there as a 38-year-old grown woman arguing with some wet behind the ears teen.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's not, even with a two-parent home, you're not going to have a guarantee that the kid is going to come out right. But at least they got twice as much of people going and putting their foot up their butt, or stepping on their neck. Not literally, all you listeners. I'm saying it's a metaphorical figure of speech. Okay.
Right.
If you constantly know, because you know you got people going, yeah, that host said that, you know, you should put your foot up their butt or step on their neck, and I don't want that type of impression coming from me. I'm saying that it's a head-butting war with your teens and your children. Because even nowadays, it's not even the teens anymore. It's the children, the little babies. I got a six-year-old that I got to constantly tell him all the time, are you chicken-headed me? Because that's not the way they were doing it. My teacher said that I should. I said, your teacher said, what, I'm grown and you don't know a thing. Okay, you're still taking teeth out your mouth trying to get new ones, so you can't tell me what's right and wrong. And that's the one thing I don't like, when a child says, that's not right. When you're telling them a way to do something and they say, that's not right, because they feel they've learned it another way. So, yes, if a single parent who's already starting in, if you need a hammer and a drill and nails and bolts, and all you got is a hammer and a drill, but you don't want to talk to the person that got the nuts and the bolts and the nails, then how are you going to make your engine work?
Right.
Mm-hmm. A child is entitled to every bit of assistance, aid, village raising, other ways, other options that there is until the day they grow up to do it for someone else. So, yes, no parent should be telling you, don't be talking to my kid. What are you talking about? My kid could do whatever they want. They can, lady, but guess what? If they do it to the gangster son down the block and they get their face life, it's on you, lady.
Yeah. And
or,
you know,
or male.
I just thought about, you know how when we was growing up, if we even said a grown person was lying, even though they was lying, they could be lying.
Okay.
We got beat down for that.
Ladies, I do have a caller coming in, so hold on, okay? One sec.
Yes. Give me some more.
Guy caller, you're on the air? Okay, I guess not. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying, and that's just the respect that we had for the grown people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they you know, Sister Sarah knows she be lying sometimes, but
I had that plenty
you
of times.
Can't call
my
her
father's
a
pastor. My father's a pastor, and whenever they had, and see, my father's a pastor, and I've always been an outspoken child, not a disrespectful one. Don't get me wrong, but I never liked. People doing injustice to an underdog, and I would say something. Okay, I got that from my father, but it was one of the things that at that age, I was 10 and 11, and I got popped in the mouth, whether that person was absolutely right or not. But I used to say, that's not what happened.
Right.
And then they'll go,
and you
are
got
you
popped
talking to me?
Because you being disrespectful.
Oh, okay, wait, the caller's back on. Okay, ladies and gents, hold on a sec, okay?
Okay.
Oh, I got quite a few people. Okay, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Arnie.
I'm sorry, sweetheart, can you say your name again?
Arnie?
Yes.
Okay, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, and you were saying you have an opinion for tonight.
Yes, well, I like to first say Darlene is my sister.
Oh, okay, I thought you sounded familiar.
Yeah.
You guys sound alike. I thought Darlene called me on a second number. Okay.
Yeah, she made
it. So, Darlene, I could actually hear you better. What's your sister's name?
Arnie. But you could call
Arnie.
Her Niecy. Right.
Hi, Niecy. Welcome to the On the Edge show. I'm Katie.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, dear. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay.
I wasn't going to call in, but the discussion was getting so good, I just had to add my two cents. I feel that the children today, it has a lot to do with society and the parents, because a lot of the children today, their parents are young.
Right.
And
that was brought up also.
Right. And it starts in the home because I used to do foster care. And I had 16 foster children, not at one time, but I used to take in siblings. And people could not believe that these were my foster children. And how they found out that they were my foster children is because they seen me with so many different children. You know, they saw that, all of those are children, and, you know, I would tell them on the side, not in front of the children, but I would, you know, explain to them that they were foster children. But people could not believe that they were my foster children because they were so well-mannered.
Mm-hmm. Allow
one
me to interject and say God bless you for that. Allow me to say God bless you for that. Because foster kids are a Russian roulette, and a lot of people wouldn't have even thought about it. And for you to say that people was asking if these were all your children, you clearly were doing it well. And there's a lot of foster parents that are not in it for what it's supposed to be for. They're in it for the whatever little money the people will give them. You're right.
Now, I have a question for, you said Niecy?
Yes.
Okay, now the kids that you did bring up right and was respectful, was it a man in the home or was it you just putting your foot down?
It was a man in the home somewhat, but he didn't really deal with the children. I mean, he dealt with them, but as far as taking care of them and doing little things with them, we took them out together, but I did the overall, you know, chastising and, you know, schooling and stuff like that.
I know that one.
I've always worked with you. But let me tell you something. What's your name, sweetie?
Shonda.
The other caller. Shonda.
Shonda.
It's very good to have a man in the home. But
mm-hmm.
you would be surprised how many men are scared of their children.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And like I said, society today even have the father afraid to chastise the child.
Well, that's from government interference, not necessarily from a male standpoint. Because I will let you know now, there are a lot of fathers that come from the old school days, and that's what they know. And a matter of fact, naturally a guy is that way, even the younger guys, to be honest with you. But that was a show that we did previously where who the hell is the government to tell you how to raise your kid? Because if that same kid without the discipline goes out and shoots somebody, the first person they're going to say didn't do a damn thing was the parent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're
nonsense. You're right, Katie. The old school fathers are different. But a lot of them,
very different.
You know, you would be surprised. Like today, I was watching Judge Hatchett, and this young man, he had to be left back because he was 16, and the boy that he assaulted was 13.
Wow.
But they were in the same class. And
ladies,
wow.
I'm going to bring in another caller. Just give me a second, okay?
Okay.
All right. Anita, you're going to continue your point. Let me just bring him in, okay?
Okay, all right.
Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, okay, she just got to finish her point, okay, and then I'm going to come to you. All right?
Nisi,
Meet Kenzetti Williams, and Darlene, the same. Zeddy Williams, Shonda, you guys know each other. Okay? Nisi, continue what you were saying, sweetheart.
All right. The thing is, the 16-year-old young man assaulted the 13-year-old one because he kept messing with him, so to speak, in class. And the 16-year-old mother, she was saying, well, I feel that his mother should sue the school because if he wouldn't have kept running his mouth, you know, my son wouldn't have hit him, and his mother needs to teach him when somebody tell him to shut up. And Judge Hatcher was looking at her like, I cannot believe you're saying this. So Judge Hatcher found out that the 16-year-old one was arrested 3 times, which the mother didn't even know. And she was saying what the 13-year-old mother should be doing. Why the heck you didn't know that your child was arrested 3 times?
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
With mothers like that, that's why a lot of our children are the way they are, besides society not having things for them to do, because they cut out a lot of stuff for our children.
Deacon, before I bring you in, I just want to touch on what you just said, Nisi. Okay. Oh, Lord. Yeah, you're right. You are absolutely right about, you know, the people coming in and out, and, you know, they're not chastising their kids. And I got to tell you that with having, like, fathers in the house, and let's not even talk about, like you said, yours just didn't chastise or whatever. There are a lot of fathers that are in the house, and really, the mothers are still single mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you guys can all relate to what I'm saying.
Yes, I
you know
can.
When you've seen it, the fathers are there, but they're just bodies, which makes it like another child for the mothers to deal with. Okay, they just want to be with the remotes, or they want to sit down, or they just want the kids out the way, get their beers, do whatever the case is. But even with that, a lot of people that look from the outside think it's a two-parent home, but technically it's not a two-parent home. It's a mother with, let's say, if they got 4 kids, with 5 kids in the house, just that one is legal.
You're right. You're totally
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Getting up out of here.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. Okay, Mr. Williams, Deacon Williams, can you please give in your thoughts on this?
Yes, first of all, I'd like to commend you ladies for coming on this program and voicing your opinions on a lot of things. Another thing I would like to say, that I'm very disappointed in listening to this program. I was sitting back and waiting before I would call in because I wanted to see just how many men will call in and stand up as far as the ones that are in the homes and trying to be fathers to some of these children, because these children that are coming up in society today, once they get to an age that they feel like they can make decisions on their own, even though they have a mother and a father at home that does everything that they need to do to raise these children correctly, but they are so impressed by what they see on television, the music that they listen to,
mm-hmm.
And even if they have the mother and father at home and that are teaching them the right and wrong, they make decisions of their own. That's why we're such a unique people, because we have the opportunity to make decisions on our own. And when these children get old enough to make decisions on their own, okay, you let them make that bed and they lay in it. But I would like to let you know that I'm not one of those fathers that sits around with a remote in his hand. If somebody comes to me and tells me something that my child is doing something wrong, believe me, I will put foot to the butt.
I am definitely
an old school father, and I believe in discipline. Now, there's discipline and there's abuse, and those are two different things. And you have a
absolutely.
Lot of problems with that in society today, where government tries to step in and tell you that you're abusing your child. Abusing your child, when you discipline your child, you discipline them and you sit them down and you explain to them why they're being punished. Now, if you're abusing them, whenever you draw blood from a child, it's that's abuse.
Yes,
that's abuse.
Yeah. I mean, if you're coming at them with a crowbar.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But like I said, I'm kind of disappointed because I believe in my heart there are a lot more men out here that are with still with their children and trying to be a part of these children's lives. And and for them not to stand up and try and defend themselves is really heart makes my heart heavy on that.
Yeah,
Deacon,
just to interject this.
I'm one of them. Hey, Big Z.
Hey, what's up, Mo?
I'm one of them. I just wanted to chime in.
Yeah, we know that. But
definitely one of them.
I just wanted to touch on Deacon, the reason why you're probably not hearing from any men, but Lou was actually on earlier. It's because tonight's topic is about entertainment industry and how we are, by our actions and not drawing the line between what's fantasy and what's real.
Right,
okay?
Exactly.
That's the reason
and
why.
It's up to us as parents to really chime in and monitor what our children are listening to and then explain it to them, hey, look, this is fantasy. That's not real.
That's
you
true.
You know, and
now,
a lot of these children are not getting any type of structure or guidance in that. That's where the problem comes
in. Right, you're right. That fantasy has them on a whole nother level. That's
what
they follow on fantasy.
Okay, you were saying, yeah, Darlene, go ahead.
I hope I didn't cut Deacon off. Is he finished?
Yes, I'm finished. Go ahead.
Okay.
Now, I just wanted to clear up one thing as far as with my cousin. He's also old school, but he's very laid back. And with our son, it was different. But when you're dealing with foster children, it's a very delicate situation.
Yes, it is.
You know,
yes,
and
it
I
is.
I had girls. So, being how I had girls, I dealt with them myself. You know, my husband did his little part, but on the overall, I'd rather have dealt with the girls. And that's how, you know, we did it. Because I'm telling you, any little thing they said or anything, the agency was investigating stuff, you know, or removing them from your house or whatever. So, being how they were foster children, I let my husband step back. And
okay, that's true, Darlene. That's true. Especially with foster children, because of the open hotlines where you can call in. You can call anybody, and you can make up anything. Not that it's true, but they have to investigate every call. And a girl's first thing to say when she's pissed off with the man or whatever is that I was touched. You understand?
That's right.
I can understand that. The other thing that I was saying a little earlier with regards to what you and Mo just said, Mo and Deacon, is this. Lou touched on this earlier. Now, he's not on the panel right now, but he was earlier. It is the simple, most logical, most obvious thing is that we monitor. But listen, there are a lot of kids, a lot more than we see or know about, that don't have the parents that have the time to sit there and look at everything. As a matter of fact, half of them need the TV just to get through the day of taking off their hard, tight shoes from a long day's work. I understand that. On the other hand, what about the ones that the parents are filtering out, but they just don't have other options? So if you have an adult in your life that's screaming at the TV, but they're also screaming at the TV and taking that out into the real world, yeah, you see what they did? You see what they did to LeBron? You see what they did to Tyson? You see what they did to Carmelo? You understand? You see what they did to Edward Cullen? If you don't know how to stop it right at the TV or in the stadium or at the movie theater, what are the kids going to learn? Whether you got a good parent home or not.
Well,
and there are a lot of idiots doing this.
Well, Katie, this is Darlene. I see it's getting close to the time, you know, and I need to just touch on this because it has so much impact in not just my life but my daughter's life also, right?
Darlene, talk away. We have extra time tonight because of the delayed start, so keep going.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a scenario that took place earlier on in my life, right? I have a daughter, right? And my daughter was born with a slow eye, right?
Okay.
And
I did everything in my power. I went back and forth with her for 7 years to New York Eye and Ear to have the eye corrected. But during the time, the seven-year period, right, I would tell my daughter how beautiful she was because the children made fun of her in school and she came home crying every day and blah, 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 blah. You know how that goes. The low self-esteem kicks in and the low self-worth kicks in and, you know, it has an impact on people's life.
I understand
I nurtured my daughter with this situation concerning her eyes. And I could tell my daughter for a whole 6 months, you're beautiful. Even if nothing's wrong with you, nothing's wrong. You got a good spirit. You got a good heart. As long as you have, you know, as long as you have standards and some dignity and some pride, like the eye doesn't even matter. You know, I'm just saying, I'm giving you like scenarios that I used to try to help her with this self-esteem issue coming up, right? And like one day, out of all these years of training, out of all these years of telling her how beautiful she is, one day a woman said something to her and took everything I gave her, everything. A grown woman called her quixotic. You understand?
Wow.
So we can invest in our children. We can invest in our children, and we can invest in our children, and it only takes one thing to take it away.
I appreciate you sharing that experience, and usually I don't, but I will. Okay, I am 43 years old, and I think that this is the first time in my life where I can actually look in a mirror and be okay with what I see. Now, I was told from very little, because when I grew up, I had sisters that I thought were models, and I always had a problem. I mean, if you look on my Facebook page, every picture that I'm forced to take or I have to take for whatever reason, I hate everything about it. Now, I was told by, you know, I had two ex-husbands between my children, and both of them were abusive, and I had been told that either, you know, certain parts of my body were too big, or my face was ugly, or I was going to be nothing but a person that, you know, somebody would use either for sex or for beating. So it took years. And then to top it off, certain things I went through growing up, because I was a victim of certain sexual crimes as well. So, you know, I was in a group home for a while and everything, which is one of the reasons why I created the show, so that I could move, you know, help people move forward, because God actually brought me out of a lot of things just with having faith and getting a developed relationship with him on my own. So it took a lot. But, yes, one person, especially if that person is somebody that you look up to or you love or you feel for, and it took a lot. But I turned on to my children every day. I would never let them find a thing wrong with themselves. One of my daughters went through a sad thing where she felt she was too fat because she had an older sister that was not being very nice to her. And now this child is the most blossom butterfly that there is, and she's beautiful and she's confident in herself, and it was something I never thought would happen. But you got to keep it up, and you've got to keep telling that person that they're beautiful, even after that one person called the cross-eyed. Because you're right.
I brought that up to make a point. That even if we are double parents in the home, like we can train our child and we could train our child to the best of our ability. And as soon as that child walks out the door, somebody that has a big influence over them can change their whole world. So I made that was my main point, that when these things do happen. So what we have to do as a parent, we know that we teach our child to the best of our ability, but we need to watch them. We need to be able to observe them a little more. Watch their mood swings. Watch if something is
changing in them. Watch if they're doing something different. Watch if, you know what I'm saying, we need to keep our eye on them.
Parenting never stops, even when they're grown and have their own children. We never stop parenting. So what you're doing, Darlene, is the most that you can do. It's constantly be a mother.
Can you hear me?
Deacon, your turn. Deacon?
Yes. I'd like to chime in on that. First of all, we all must know that all children are gifts from God. They are placed in our in our hands, and give, and we are given a responsibility to raise these children correctly. First of all, whatever you pour into these children, it has to be positive. There's no doubt about that. You have to pour in positivity into your children. You know, you can't keep them away from the negativeness, because that's going to be, that's also in the world too. So you can't avoid that. But what we can do is make sure that we bring the Creator in their lives. As long as they have Jesus Christ in their lives, there's nothing that can stop them from doing anything that they want to do. Let people say what they want to say, you know, let them do what they want to do. But as long as they have the Lord in their lives, you know, let them know about the Lord, they don't have to worry about any of those things. You know, and I used to think that I wouldn't live to be the age of 18 years old. I was labeled a menace to society in Brooklyn, New York. And I was run out of Brooklyn because I was just that type of a child. But see, I had a lot of hate and resentment in my heart because of some of the things that I was dealing with, you know, in my family and with coming up and with my father, you know. But I thank God for my mother, because she taught me about the Bible. She taught me about God. She brought me to God. And that was planted in me. And I didn't realize that, because I was going around thinking I was Superman. You know, some of the things that I got through in my life, there was points in my life where I know I should have winded up dead. But I thought, oh, yeah, I'm a bad something. I got through this. But it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with me at all until I got a wake-up call at one point. But like I said, we are responsible for our children. They are gifts from God. And if we don't do the things that we're supposed to do as parents, we are all going to have to answer to the Creator. There's no doubt. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no getting away around it, because we all have to go back to where we started from, and that is to the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Right. And I do want to say something. I'm sorry. I don't know who it was that started, but I just want to say this. There is still the 50-50 chance, and Darlene, I'm going to say this to you, because you and I actually spoke when we were, you know, out last week. But understand this, and I've seen it happen. As a matter of fact, it happened with me and one of mine, and I think I was explaining to you. My daughter had gotten into a situation by some gang criminals that were in our neighborhood. And it was a very bad experience for both of us. And understand, from day one, I've been a young mother. I've been a mother since I was 19 years old with many kids, okay? And I've never once been a smoking mom, and I'm not talking cigarettes. I'm talking the other stuff. Never been a smoking mom. I've never been on the streets where I got to repent for ever having, you know, been a prostitute or anything, and I was homeless at 17, okay? I've never had to say that, you know, I had to quit drinking, because I never was a drinker. I never left my children to be babysat, because I used to think at my age that to want to go out and go to a movie when you had a child and not want to take your child with you was being a bad mother. Trust me, I'm grown and I know better now. But back then, I thought that being a good mother means you were always with your children. So when this child grew up and got caught up and taken by people that were trying to teach her that your parents were the enemy, because they had things in mind for her, okay? Right. I had to watch my child turn me into an enemy, knowing that my whole life, if I had $10, $9 went to my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it hurt like all hell to see that somebody that you gave up your life and your heart for was brainwashed or turned away because the peer pressure of the street made them think that you were not doing your job. I couldn't afford a lot of things. So I got told that, you know, you're the enemy because I don't have sneakers or I don't have certain things. So it was that type of thing. So no matter how great a mom or dad you are, there is still a 50% chance
that for the time being, peer pressure is going to override everything you have as a mother. What actually made it better for me with my daughter was the one day after all the crying I had done for the lies that she had told, after all the ACSs, after all the courts, after all the running and the missing days that I thought she was dead or whatever the case was, after all of that, on Christmas of last year, what I told my child was this: you know what? I don't know why I spent all this time hurting myself when you know and I know that there are certain things you're doing and that they're lies. But the one thing that God promised, the one thing God promised me was, if I gave you back to him the day that you were born and raised you in him, then no matter how far you strayed, you'll never go far from your roots.
Right.
Okay? And the Amen. Only thing I could do from this moment is pray that God keeps you safe and pray that whatever trigger it is in you that personally makes you stop and think, God will activate it. And when
right.
you break down, because God will put you in front of yourself and make you see everything you've done, where you can't run from it. When you realize what has been happening to this point and you break down, my job is to be there to help you pick up the pieces. Since that day, I can honestly say my daughter is now an advocate for other girls that went through crime.
Right. Yeah, and that's beautiful. I applaud her strength and your strength also. And I was making a point that, you know, us as parents, when we were coming up, our parents said something, that was gold, right?
Yeah.
We didn't question why. We didn't question where. We didn't question
Yeah, you better
when,
not.
Right? Okay.
You're
so
not,
today it's not like that. And we get so aggressive with our children in certain areas, like, you just do as I say do, right? And sometimes, like, our children, they're not as strong-minded or strong-willed or strong-spirited as we were, because we came up raised from babies in the church, and, you know, we had some kind of guidance. But the
right.
children today, we have to watch them, because a lot of them, if nobody understands what I'm trying to say, but these children today, a lot of them have emotional problems, real young.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Real
Very young.
Young.
Something wrong with them.
It's real young. Young. Foster care, because they put those children on drugs. They'll put them on drugs in a minute. Yeah.
Yes,
know,
they will. Yes,
these
they will.
Children.
Lexapro, Zyrtec, it doesn't matter. You know, Benadryl, whatever it is out there, Ritalin. And that's the first thing they do. They're quick to tell an African-American child that has a little bit of a temper at one point that they're bipolar.
Yeah.
They're quick to put a label on a kid. And I can't even really say it's just African-American kids. Because you know what's the problem now? The pharmaceutical companies are becoming just as capitalist and money-hungry as any business you can see out there.
They're nothing but legalized drug dealers. That's what they are.
I agree. Because they, you know, that's the only thing that I hear is, well, take this and take that.
Yeah.
And when you take one thing,
well, because you gotta, and then you gotta take something with the other thing to counteract the other thing, and then
right.
you gotta take something to counteract that. So it's continuous. Just feed me medicine. But what I'm saying is, I've been through something that I can't even discuss. Right? Because
okay.
of judgmental reasons. And maybe people not seeing things the way that I see them, because I have to live it, whether I
mm-hmm.
want to or not. But my real concern is that we connect with these kids that we are around. And, like, sometimes, right, pull them on the side and ask them, you know what, how you feel?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
Not these kids here in Flint, Michigan. You can't even do that to them.
Well, guys, I got to take a break. I got to take a break. Hello, I got to take a break, sweetheart. I don't want to cut you. I got to take a break. I want every one of you to hang out, because every one of you has had some wonderfully insightful things to add. Two are regulars, but the rest of you, you know, Tonight, I am honoring Michael Jackson in honor of his fourth year death. So a lot of the things that you're hearing is going to be Mike this evening. So hang out with me. Yeah, I'll be back in 4 minutes, and I will be back to pick up where you said. Darlene, I'm going to pick back up with you, okay, honey?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you all for hanging out.
All right.
You're welcome. I want to thank every one of you that are out there listening, and we will be back. Here is Michael Jackson with Jermaine singing Tell Me I'm Not Dreaming, and I'll be back. Rest in heaven, Mike.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back.
Love that song. Love Michael. Rest in heaven, dude. You were a great contribution. Okay. Those of you just joining us, and I think that we lost LaShonda, and I think Nisi dropped off as well, but, you know, we still have our other two. And if you guys are still listening, thank you very much for everything you've contributed. Tonight's episode, and we're having another type of discussion, but it's still pertaining to tonight, is about the entertainment industry. Yesterday was part one, where we spoke about the industry's responsibility on keeping social responsibility as a front page menu, which they're not doing. And as a result, a lot of people are starting to mimic certain very, very, very outrageous characters that we see on TV, be it the girls from the Bad Girls Club, 16 and Pregnant, the Maury Povich Show, Basketball Wives, including Evelyn Losada in Basketball Wives, where everybody thought it was cool for her to just keep jumping over the tables and whacking people with bottles and shoes and things. So that's the one thing that we were talking about yesterday. Today's aspect is how the civilians, meaning you and I, are reacting with balancing out what's fantasy and what's entertainment. One of the examples that we brought up is the outrageous sports ragers. Those of us that don't know how to balance our brains out and be able to have a healthy opposition with someone who's not on the team that we're rooting for. You know, when you start getting to the point of deleting people off of Facebook and calling people personal names and talking about them and because they don't like Tyson Chandler and you do, and or don't like LeBron James and you do, then we start to have to ask our questions when you're 50 and 40, what's wrong with you? Okay, but in the same token, what happens is that when we as adults start getting as caught up in the hype as teens that are fighting over Edward Cullen and Jacob Black, then we're not helping our children along to understand that there's a line between what you see on TV that goes off with credits after an hour or so and what you see on a daily basis, even when the show is not on that week. Now, Darlene, Deacon Zeddy Williams, LaShonda Mosley, Mo Mosley, and we had our niece, which we call her Nisi, is Darlene's sister, have all been given some very wonderful, wonderful stories. They've been coming up with great opinions, great ideas, great viewpoints. And I'm going to bring them back in. But before I do, I have to shout out to my sponsors, Barry Mason of the Track One Entertainment Company, Stephanie Hemantillin and Marcia Morgan. Thank you guys for being a part of our team. Tonight we're also in the process giving Michael Jackson some honor. His fourth anniversary of his death is today. We all know that he's been a great person. So, you know, I don't mind playing none of it because I love almost everything he ever did, okay? So those of you, hopefully during the break, you were bopping like I was. All right, bringing back Miss Darlene, because Miss Darlene was in the middle of something before the break time hit.
It was a wonderful topic.
Hi, Miss Demay. Darlene, you're back on the air, my love.
Okay, am I on the air?
You are live.
Oh,
yes, you are.
Okay, hello, everyone. Before the intermission, I was touching on something very important. Us as a people, as a parent, as single parents, double parents, just parents, period. Like, we need to focus more on our children's emotional stability because we lose that grip because on a daily basis, we work hard, we come home, we tired. We really don't have much energy, not so much want to be bothered, but they work us so hard, right? Like, we want to come home and we want to relax and we want to enjoy and we want to go to sleep and start all over again the next day. But we tend to forget about the children. We tend to forget about the peer pressure that they go through on a daily basis. We need
Absolutely.
To get more connected with what they are going through. Yes. If we don't ask them, they're not going to tell us.
Absolutely.
If we ask them, then they feel like we're interested. When once a child feels that you're kind of interested and caring about how they feel, then they'll reach out to you a little more. Not so much as just do it because I said so and ignore how they feel about some things. We need to pull them over to the side and actually ask them, how was their day? How do they feel? And maybe just asking them those two little questions will open up so much more information that
Absolutely.
You don't know about your child.
Sorry,
and
hang on.
That.
I just want to bring in our other two callers. There's actually the one that was on previously. I forgot to unmute them. And there's actually a new caller, so let me bring them in, okay?
Right.
Hi, Deacon Williams, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yes,
hang
I am.
On 1 second. 1 second. Let me bring in the others. Hold on. LaShonda, you there, baby?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, hold on. We have a new caller, guys, so let me see who this is, okay?
Okay.
Hi, welcome to the On the Edge show. You're on the air?
Yes, but I'm not a new caller.
Okay.
I got it disconnected.
All right. So we all know. All right. Charlene, continue, baby. Continue.
Yes, I'm gonna say this in closing because it's not my show and I'm not trying to take up everybody's time. But I've experienced something in my life right now that I'm dealing with my daughter. And like I said, I can't even talk about it. It's so devastating. But I will say this to you. Whether the child is grown, whether the child is medial age, whether the child is little, whether the child is a baby, we need to be more aware of what they are feeling.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You don't know what they go through when they go to school. You don't know what they go through when they're out there in the streets trying to be in it, trying to be down, trying to fit in, some children, listen.
Survive. In Flint, Michigan, I hear that a lot, that they need to survive.
From the bottom of my heart, I missed out on something very important, and I could have, might have helped save my daughter. You understand, and I say that to you with every fiber of my being. No matter who you come in contact with, whoever's child you come in contact with, if they trust you and they care about you and they respect you, they will listen to you. Maybe not
yeah.
everything you say, but they will listen to the bulk of what you say. Take time out for the children.
Yes, mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
I agree.
Right.
And sis, I'll be praying for you. And I don't know what it is that you're dealing with your daughter, but I will definitely keep you in my prayers.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, darling, you make sure you reach out to me when the show's over, okay? Because we will definitely
do
that.
I most definitely will.
Well,
thank
I do want to touch on something. You're welcome, baby girl. I want to touch on something that you just said, okay?
Okay.
Because you do... You do have to reach out and talk to them and see what their changes are. One of the things that I brought up in a previous segment, and actually I repeated it again with my bullying segment, we came from parents that were so far removed from us in age that a lot of the ways that they approached us or delivered certain very important topics was like the baby came from a sort that blew, you know, that was dropped on the stoop, and so I asked my mom, we had 7 bird visits because you have 7 kids, and so that was I think I got popped in the mouth for asking that, but
mm-hmm.
you know, they made it seem like these babies came out of magical thin air with a long beak, you know, and like the Flintstones did. They had a baby come crawl to their house the whole night. But the thing is, one of the communication gaps that need to be filled is that our children need to hear the real stuff. That, you know, I used to have an earring in my ear and was unpopular with the thick glasses and the bumps on my face. People used to laugh at me because my mom couldn't afford certain things and I got whatever. Because then the kids will not start seeing you as some far-removed pod people that don't understand what teens go through. You used
right.
to smoke or I used to drink, and guess what? I had sex early, too, and I got the feeling. You know, so
right.
they start feeling like you are so far removed that how the hell could you understand what it's like? You're a grown-up. You understand? Because
mm-hmm.
they forget that before we were grown-ups, we were babies, then toddlers, then teens, then young
mm-hmm.
adults. You understand?
Yes.
So
okay.
if we can help
and
connect,
I,
now that always won't work.
And I always tell my daughter, baby, I was 15 before. Your
Thank
daddy
you.
Was 15 before. We know what you know, we ain't crazy by no means. Right. We know how you're feeling. We know what you, we know what you're trying to do before you even do it.
You know what my mother always tell us, and it's funny because we're in our 50s now, and we still
me, there's,
can't.
There's some type of interference coming
in
the background.
All right, let me see. Okay, one second. Let me see. It's like it gets silly. Guys, there has been a series of bad weather where the towers come from, so just sort of hang with us because we're kind of bouncing back here, there, and everywhere. So.
Okay.
Hold on. All right, try talking.
Hello?
A little better?
Okay, it seems like it's cleared up some, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I was saying that my sister and I, you know, is in our 50s. We have other siblings also. And even today, we can't question our mother about certain things that she tell us to do. And
absolutely.
And she, I lost my train of thought. I wanted to say something on what the other young lady was saying.
That we were 15 before is what she said.
Yeah, our mother always tell us, and she still tell us today, whatever age she was, you know, or is, she'll say, I'm not 69 for nothing, or
yes.
I'm not 88 for nothing, because she just turned 88 June 20th.
God bless her.
Yeah, thank you. So
thank
she
God
always
for that.
Tell us that. I'm not this age for nothing, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I know what the young lady is saying about,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've been there before, because my mother would have some stories to tell you, and she always tell us, I'm not this age for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So don't try to pull nothing over on me. She tell us that today, right, Darlene?
Sure. She's adamant. She's adamant.
And that's why I like when my husband tell my daughter, you pretty, you know, you's a pretty girl. I tell her, you's a pretty girl. Because when she get out in the street, I don't want her melting, turning into a pillar of salt because some little boy done told her she pretty.
Yeah.
I want her to stand and be like, look, I know I'm pretty. I've been
that's
pretty.
Right.
You know, my daddy and mama tell me this. So we don't want her to just fall for anything.
Exactly.
Just, you know, just, no.
Can I chime in for just a few?
Yes, go ahead.
You know, what you ladies are saying as far as, you know, that encouragement of a child, that's very important. And it seems like in today's society, we miss out on a lot of the small things. When we were
mm-hmm.
coming up, everybody sat down and ate dinner together.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sat down and ate dinner together, you got a chance to communicate with one another. Okay, how did your day go? What did you do over here? Or what happened with you in school today? Or what happened when you went over to your friend's house or something like that? There was an interest at that table. You
yes,
know, because
right.
you could never can tell what that child has gone through, or even as the parents, you know, you had a chance to communicate with one another. The mother and father would sit and tell each other how their day went, you know, and that included the children right there while you're sitting there and breaking bread with one another. Little things like that are missing from society right now. That's why a lot of the children are going the way they are. You see now families, when they eat, you see somebody standing up in the doorway eating or walking out the door eating, grabbing a sandwich or something and eating. There's no closeness of the family no more. And
right.
like the main structure of families are togetherness. If you don't have that togetherness within your family, it's going to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a solid foundation. You don't have a solid foundation. So we need to get back to the basics from where we were taught. What was poured into us, we need to start pouring into our children today. They're missing out on a lot.
Yeah,
they are.
That's true.
And it's a hard thing.
Can I quickly just say one thing, please? Just to elaborate on what the brothers just said. And you know what? Because when my mom, when we were coming up, my mom act like she was perfect. That she didn't have no wrong. She didn't do no wrong, right? That's not going to work. Sometimes you have to let your child know some of the experiences that you've been through.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
let them understand
mm-hmm.
that you understand. You can't
mm-hmm.
just tell them. You listen. This is a whole nother breed of children.
Right.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. And their computers are too.
They are
and they seem to think that the things that they're going through is old.
Right.
You know, it's old, but we done been there and done that.
But if we don't never elaborate, we ain't got to tell them all out or whatever. We ain't got
right.
to take away from us being the parent. But we need to allow them to know that we're human. And we
have
to think too, right?
Right.
And because we're their parents, don't make us perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do you all remember going to school and thinking your teacher never used the bathroom? I remember thinking that my teachers never went to the bathroom because they were adults, and the way that we were taught, or the image that we was burned in our head, was that children are supposed to be seen and not heard, and that adults were the bigwigs. But on the other hand, as a parent, that gap, there has to be a blended line to a point. Like we both just mentioned, I don't speak, when I had the sex talk with my children, I didn't give them that, well, sweetheart, you see what happens is the little birdies go here and the bees come there. And every name that the street calls a body part, that's the way I gave it to them. I got my son telling me, Ma,
and
come
that's
on, Ma.
What you got to do. You got to do
well,
it like
and I
that.
Told them,
yeah.
I said, oh, don't act like you haven't heard it. Cut it out. Okay? And I said, look, I've been there, done that. Those little tingles you get in them little areas you didn't think exist, they're supposed to be there.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be there. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with feeling it. And guess what? Well, you know, guys don't want to talk to their moms about that even when they're grown. But, you know, hey, if I'm a single mom and I got to play daddy for a little while, I got to do that. Because at some point, some silly girl is going to make my son think that he's all the bomb while she's got some agenda. Meanwhile, over in Daughterville, okay, we got a daughter that has been told that, you know, nothing, that, you know, keep it closed, keep it tight, put the long dresses on. Meanwhile, there's a guy out there trying to get underneath all those barriers. And if I don't tell her that she's worth waiting until the right person comes along, and then again, nowadays,
right.
who even knows what that means anymore? And you're trying to teach them that. And women,
mm-hmm.
women and men nowadays that are trying to stay old school in a new school world already got a twice the fight.
Yeah, right.
But
you're
I tell
right
her, listen,
that,
all those little places that you feel tingling in, I'm sorry, LaShonda, I didn't mean to cut you, baby.
No, you're okay.
But all of those places that you're feeling the tingles and you get in the little leaks and you're doing whatever, there's a reason for that. God put it in there for a reason. But guess what? With that reason comes responsibility, because once the act is fulfilled, then you got other stuff to deal with. And girls and guys see this act a whole different way.
And that's
right.
the way me and Mo keep it with our daughter.
Yeah.
We keep it 100. Because we already know. She'll be 16
Excuse
in a couple
me, ladies,
of months.
I just want to comment. Thank you, Katie, for letting me know that I wasn't crazy, because I used to think the teacher didn't go to the bathroom.
No, I used to think so either. I didn't think my parents did.
No.
Okay, and I know that every one of us who had two parents have walked in on their parents doing the do at some point, and I know I was traumatized for life.
You
know,
right.
I was. I was like, no, no.
Well, I thank God I never witnessed that one. I'll probably be blind.
Oh, my goodness. No, no.
Oh, no.
No.
Yes.
I know that we had to try to figure out what kind of physics that was, but, you know, when we were growing up. And back
I'm trying to tell you now.
Oh,
Lord, what did I just do?
I know, and you know what? And what pissed me off was that my father was very like, you know, all right, okay, you saw it, now what? Let's talk about it. No, no, thank you, no, no. I do not want to know why at 6 years old I just saw that. No, thank
you. Me and your mama and
we'll
daddy
talk
was
later.
Playing.
Oh, God, and I love the ones when you say, honey, this is an expression of love between two people. I love my doll. I wasn't doing that. You know, so, you know, that's the type of thing, but at least they tried. But my father... Oh, God, you talk about, like, the old-school Southern, and then he has a slight bit of Jamaican in him. So you get in all that. What are you talking about? You want? No, please, not now. My mother was, like, the Little House in the Prairie mom, you know, where they had the long skirts, and you don't say certain things, and women couldn't speak, and, you know, please, that's why I wanted to be so different when I grew up. No, come here, sit down. This is the way it goes. You know, and by the way, I tell my children all the time, my generation is the last generation that used to play games and were good at it.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that you got now, especially all the aids that help you be silly,
get you busted. We had to use our heads for stuff, so we didn't have text messaging to be a footprint and to light where you are. So
yeah.
Everything you think you're good at, we already been there, done that, and we were better at it. Then I'll try again. Where were you?
You know what, Katie? A lot of when I speak to my friends, they be like, "So how come that meant everything to you?" You know what? The most beautiful thing that ever happened between me and my daughter, besides giving birth to her, was the day that she said to me, "Mommy, I think I want to have sex."
I was so proud.
Listen. For a child to come and tell a mother that's
yep.
a big thing.
How old was she?
She was 15, and she told me that she wanted to have sex. And this is how I handled it. She was 15 years old. There's no way in the world I was just going to say, okay, right? So I said to my daughter, I said, "Listen, baby. I said, I know you want to experiment. I said, but at 15 years old, it's unheard of in my time, you know, because that was 20 years ago, you know. That was 20 years ago, so you can imagine, right? So I said to her, all right, if that's what you want to do, if you feel you found the right boy or whatever, I can't confirm it. I can't say okay, but I am so grateful. I'm just so grateful that you told me."
Yes,
at that
big
time, you know, I thought like 16, go get her some birth control, whatever. But I thought at 15, like if she had some birth control, oh, Lord, every man, every little boy that says she was cute was going to get some, you know. So
yes.
I didn't want to promote it, right? But by the time she turned 16, she was pregnant. But, you know, I don't regret it because I did not just say okay, that it was okay, because it wasn't. You're 15.
Which is
However,
exactly what we spoke about, what was it, LaShonda, a couple of segments ago, where we
mm-hmm.
spoke about should we enforce condom use or abstinence in our child, and in this
right.
same age, You have to know how to balance the middle ground. And what I say by that is this. I definitely don't condone. I tell my kids they can't date till they're 95 and I'm dead. But, I mean, that's a cute thing for mom to say. But
right.
we know in this day and age it's not it. Now, you do have a right as a mom to say, hell no, I don't agree with this.
Right.
But if you're going to do it, because you know that once they get out there, some guys are designed to know how to be perfect in getting to the panties. I'm sorry, that is it. They could be the dumbest kids in school. They could be the dumbest failing English kids in school, but they'll have some sweet talk when it comes down to getting to that prize. Okay?
Right.
They got some things. When I tell you, I have heard some lines. They even using Jesus now. Okay? Yeah, you just tell these girls that you serve God and you believe in this, and they dripping, which I
yeah.
always talk about because it pisses me off, but, you know, that's just the whole thing. But the thing that I'm saying is, if you don't sit there and try to understand that you're in a different age and a different time with more hard-headed kids, you got to tell them, I do not agree. I do not agree. I don't condone this, but I do have a responsibility to tell you that if you should find yourself in a situation where you're going to make this decision, and I'm not there to stop you, you got to have a condom and a spermicide as a non-negotiable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so happy that she told me.
I understand that completely.
Yeah, and you know that she earned enough respect for me to tell me that. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
even though I didn't condone it, it was out in the open, and I said, you know what, when you get 16, if that's what you decide to do, I'll take you to the doctor, but I will not condone it at 15. I will not. So it worked itself out. God is good. You know, she had a son, and he's beautiful, whatever, but it's just the mother part of me that feels so blessed, because not every parent could say that.
that their child came to them and told them they're ready to have sex. I was like, what?
That is perfect. Okay, I want to go around the panel because I do want to get back to, you know, we brought this out, which still applies to what we're speaking about. So let me start with you, LaShonda. Okay, we touched on the sports rage aspect of this yesterday, but it's not just sports. Sports is just, we just had more examples of it. Just think about it. The Twilight teams, we got the 16 and pregnant, the basketball wise, the Maury Povich. What is your feeling on the civilian side of this? Like, do you see more so than not that people are just taking the fantasy and applying it to daily life?
Well, I mean, people gonna do what they want to do anyway. They gonna,
okay.
You know, they gonna do what they want to do anyway.
Right.
And as far as, like you said about the LeBron and the guy saying whatever he said to the woman and all of that is. I just can't even believe it. It's just, like, so unreal to me. You know,
but it is real. It is out there. I've seen it. Even in MSG right now,
yeah.
I've never seen.
That's just, I don't know. It's, like, unbelievable to me. Like, are you serious?
Right. And I think at that point, too, it does come down to maybe the person themselves have an issue. I just, before I go on to the next panelist, I want to let you know, working at Madison Square Garden, I've seen the fans evolve now where it's no longer just people going to root for their team. I've seen people going, oh, my God, we've got to win this one. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. I've seen people stand outside the stand eating
hot dogs. Like if they don't win, they
going to
have a heart attack and die or something?
Yeah, no, I'm dead serious. I've seen
fans. I mean, goodness.
Like their life is riding on these people who are going to come again and do it next year, whether they win or lose, going nuts. Okay, thank you for that. Nisi, you're next. Let me hear what you think.
What are we speaking about? The entertainment?
Yes. We're talking on the civilian side today. We already spoke about the networks yesterday, where I think that they need to go back inside the decision-making room and start cleaning a little more things up before they actually present it. But for those that don't, okay, we're talking about, like, the average Joe, the yous and the me's of the world. Do you see that there are people getting a little too caught up in whatever it entertainment field that it is? Do you see people getting too caught up in sports, too caught up in the reality shows, too connected?
It's ridiculous. I don't even watch TV anymore. I used to be a really big fan of Maury, and he's still kind of, but I don't even watch him because Maury, to me, And not only Maury, the reality shows, I definitely don't watch those because
right.
I really don't care how nobody else is living, long as they're not bringing it to me, especially somebody that has money. You know, I don't want to know how a rich person is living.
Me either.
No, so
show me how they're helping other people that don't
exactly,
have it like they do.
Exactly.
The thing
that makes me angry with Maury is that, you know, I'm not saying that some of the guys and girls on there don't be lying, you know, as far as the tests and stuff, and he finds the babies, daddies, and all of that's good. But what makes me angry with him is with the lie detector test. And the people on there are so ridiculous. They base their whole relationship on a machine. How
right.
do you do
that? Could go faulty.
How do you do that? Number one, the lie. If a person really know how a lie detector test works, it works on the emotion. So if a person is nervous, it's going to put the deadline. That's why they don't accept it in the court. You know,
right.
And that kind of pisses me off because it's just stupid for you to base your whole relationship on this machine.
Okay.
You know,
that's
and for
right.
Maury to, you know, to Owen, he's not telling the truth. And, you know,
it's just a whole lot of nonsense, and it makes me sick. And people actually sit and watch this every day.
Yeah, and they
actually base their lives around these shows, the reality shows, and I don't even watch TV anymore. If I'm watching TV, I might watch the court if the case sounds good to me, or I'll watch the cooking show, you know.
Well, touching on Maury before I move to the next panelist, Niecy, I'm going to tell you what one of the things, well, actually two things that bother me about it. Maury used to be very classy, and he would give his own spin on, like, current events. But when the DNA started, he still was a bit classy because it was random cases. But now, all I'm seeing is that black people are using it as a 15 minutes of fame, and
that's
it's
right.
more black people that's coming up there exposing our children to future crap. Because you know what? Like I brought up earlier, you're coming under the premise of doing a really good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these babies are going to grow up one day because technology will follow you to the day that you die. And they're going to see some replay as grown adults one day. And there are plenty of times that I've seen that the DNA does come back being in favor of the girl saying that the guy standing in front of her is the father. And it comes back true that this guy is the father. But before that DNA is read, okay, which Maury uses as a suspense builder, okay, that man can call his baby's mother every derogatory female name that there is.
Mm-hmm.
And then got to look stupid because now he comes out saying, oh, really? You are the father. So now that baby, if they decided to work it out, is going to look back one day and go, wait a minute, that was me. Mommy, why didn't you know who the father was? And daddy, why did you call my mother a whore on TV?
Exactly. But what also make me angry with Maury is when they find out the guy is not the father or there's one of the females that's bringing 6 or 7 men. Why are you bringing 6 or 7 men up there to find out who your child's father is?
Thank you. And I think that if he was right, and I think if he was going to go really provide these services to these girls, I don't think that after baby number one or baby number two, or father number one or two, I think that he should have aired it maybe on the second baby. I mean, the second father. After that, it should have been done off screen if he really
right,
was not into it.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
if it wasn't about ratings, that's what he would have done.
I'd be saying, you know what, she didn't get out the bed because there was one female on there, Marisol. She had like 10, 15 men for this one child. I said, this has got to be impossible.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
it turns out
that it's rigged. All right, we are running low on time, so I want to move to the next panelist. Darlene, what is your thoughts on the way people are connecting with these fictional characters, these celebrity icons? Do you feel that they're going a little too far with certain things?
Most definitely. They're going too far with a lot of things, Katie. However, seeing how we are the little people, quote unquote, right, and we just have opinions and things like that we can speak about and discuss, which is a beautiful thing because awareness is number one. Awareness
right.
is number one. That's where it starts. Okay. In a nutshell, for me, how my view is that, you know what? We might not be able to stop, correct, end, or sort of finish out what's going on because it's out of hand already. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do, is come together as a people and find a solution to try to save the future, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what we can do.
Okay,
it's out of hand already.
Yeah,
it's
is.
Out of hand.
It is, but as long as we're living and breathing, we have an option, you know, to try to do something.
I'm,
you can only... Go ahead, honey.
But that's why I'm saying that would be... For me, my view, that would be our option because we're talking about things that are already happening, that's already out there, that's been out there. What we can do as a people is we can form a union or form a group or form something.
things to help the our people within the community, some sort of speak. I don't know how it can happen, but I'm sure with your brains, my brains, Niecy brains, what's the other lady name?
Lashonda
brains and the Reverend's brains, we can come up with something that we can help our upcoming children.
Absolutely. Thank you, Darlene. Deacon Williams.
Yes.
Do you feel that everybody has taken the sports, the reality shows, the celebrities, the movies a little too far and applying it to daily lives?
A little too far is an understatement.
Okay. Let's see it from you.
This thing has really gone way overboard. I mean,
yeah.
we're flooded with all kinds of craziness, man. It's like, wait a minute, where are we at? We're in the Twilight Zone or something? What's going on here?
Oh, watch
you know,
it. That's the name of another show. I said, be careful. That's the name of another show.
When I was over in Europe, I used to watch television over there. I was like, wow, I thank God that we don't have TV like that back in the States. And after
wow.
all those years, I see we started to get invaded with that. The same crap that was on the TV there is finally here. And I never thought I would see that. But it goes to show you how far and how much money is talking to folks these days that they're being blinded by that type of thing. And it's like if we sit back and keep accepting it and keep accepting that we keep watching these supposed to be real-life television shows, which we know is a lot of this stuff that goes on those reality TV shows is not reality at all. But as long as we keep feeding into it, there's a lot of us that are curious and like, well, let's see what's going on here. And then they get hooked into it. And then it's hard to let go. It's just like like a drug that you pick up or a drink that you pick up and you can't put it down. See, we got to start waking up.
Sad.
We got to start waking up. We've been walking around sleepwalking for so long. It's time for and the young lady that spoke about unity, Darlene, she hit the nail right on the head. There needs
Absolutely.
To be more unity with our people. Do you know how we could run things if our people would just come together and unite?
How about that?
We evolved from kings and queens.
That's
you know, we are a people of survival. We know how to survive. You know, that's a built-in mechanism when it comes to our people. And
yes,
if we can bring all our resources and our brains together, do you know we are heavenly dangerous?
Yes, we are.
That's why I'll say to this day that's what the slave masters saw in us before we saw it in ourselves.
That's why they didn't want us to learn how to read.
Exactly.
They didn't want to let us learn how to read because they knew
we
what would
We nursed their children. We nursed their kids. We babysat their children. We taught them how to make their resources work. We were the ones that did all that. Okay,
right.
So
and you know
I
what?
Saw,
and you know what? Today, we enslave ourselves.
We're
dealing
knew.
With today modernized slavery, and a lot of people don't realize it. They need to wake up.
Which will be in another segment, but I do want to bring up something with that. It's sad because black men are the first ones to talk against anything that empowers a black woman. Oh, your hair's in a weave. Oh, your hair. Meanwhile, there's people like David Bowie's of the world that's looking at how beautiful a girl can make herself look with all these changeable things and be the first one to suckle up. And then on the other hand, every time a black man becomes successful, the first thing he wants to do is what? Marry a white.
I'm not even
going to
say.
Yeah, so he wants
to. Yeah, it's snowing all of a sudden.
You know, it's snowing. It's a little yellow out, sunny, and you know whatever. And it's not a racist thing. It's just a fact of life. I mean, just think about it. Tiger Woods, the first black person that sat there and conquered a white sport, and the first thing he did was go marry a white woman, which he cheated on, and wind up doing what? Now he's lost all whatever. So
it's just that we
do have to empower ourselves.
Bank.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile,
well,
a black woman knows how to
get. I like black coffee.
Okay,
really?
All right.
I hear you
speaking.
I hear you, brother.
Okay. Listen, we have a good amount of time. I do have to play a couple of more Michael Jackson tributes. Don't go anywhere, people, because I want you to be here for the final words. Okay?
Okay.
First one we're coming up with is going to be Off the Wall, and then I want to replay
a song that he did with Biggie Smalls that never got played if you didn't have the History album. But it's powerful because he was talking to everybody that was you was torturing him and rumors and everything. And he wrote a, let me see, like a Forget You All type song, all right? So just hang out with me. Off the Wall is first, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
home. Flashing cameras, taps on my phone. Even in my home, I ain't safe as I should be. Things always missing. Maybe it could be my friends. They ain't friends if they robbing me. Stopping me from making a profit. See, apology, shallow like the ocean. I guess I resort to gun toting. If I was dead broke and smoking, I'd probably be by my lonesome. I'm a killer nigga, I ain't joking. Enzo smoke got me choking. I'm hoping the fool comes slipping so I can blow him open. This time around, I changed up my flow. Got rid of the rocks, got pissed by the dough. A real set of people to watch my back. Stay away from strangers so I won't slack. And I know my nigga might like that. Baby!
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Hey, guys, that was a very nice but unplayed ever song by two of the greats, Michael Jackson and Biggie Smalls. Okay, guys, we've got just a couple of almost seconds, maybe about a minute. So I want to publicly thank all of you guys. I'm unmuting your mic so that you all can hear me. Thank you, LaShonda. Thank you, Mo, because I know you got their shadow lagging or something. thank you, Deacon Betty Williams. Thank you, Niecy. Thank you, Darlene. You're very welcome. But I've had one of the most powerful, powerful segments today. So I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you all for sharing your experiences, some of the things that may have been difficult to talk about. And I don't care who's listening. Don't ever worry about being judged by anybody on this panel. All right, guys, we're getting down. I want to thank you all. Listeners, thank you. We are 4,422 listeners strong in less than a month. I don't know where you're coming from, but thank you very much. I got to kind of roll the credits quick here because we're down to 10 seconds. So thank you until tomorrow night at 8, which we will be talking about the Trayvon Martin trial. Thank you.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Be blessed.
God bless everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you, Katie. Thank you, baby.
On The Edge. Real talk about real issues.
Wow, what a show. They want to talk to you.